She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Hello out there, everybody. Remember that movie, Finding Nemo? Well, Nemo is finding us. Everybody here in the Schoharie Valley is battening down for 16 to 22 inches. And of course, my brother in Boston, they're talking blizzard in 3 feet. What fun. So hopefully this podcast will be something that you can listen to when you're all in the house after shoveling out. Tonight, we've got a kind of Dr. Seuss title, S is for Shaman, and it was very deliberate. My guest tonight is Richard Maltz, and I adore him. He is this wonderful, beatific bear of a man. He is brilliantly compassionate. He is different than most of the shamans I've run into in that he fits his shaman practice into his life, not the other way around. He has known how to help people from a very young age and knew that it was coming from somewhere else. You know, the old, it's something bigger than Phil. And so now he is doing all kinds of wonderful work. He's doing healing work, intuitive readings, psychic surgery, rhythm therapy, you name it, the man does it, and he does it wonderfully. And the best part about him is he is a deliriously happy father to his one-year-old boy, Ben, that I refer to as the shaman in training. So we're going to be talking a lot about all of those yummy things tonight. Richard, I'm so pleased to have you on the show.
Why, thank you so much, Corby. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with the usual. How did you know that you got tapped by the upstairs crew for extracurricular activities?
You know what? It wasn't really, really apparent to me until junior high school. And I just remember speaking to a teacher who was telling me about problems in his life and speaking without thinking and giving him answers. And I remember walking away from that thinking, where was that coming from?
I'm fascinated that your teacher actually was talking to you about the problems in his life. People don't do that now. You know, there's a very definite, I am a teacher and you are a student sort of thing. Do you remember how that came about?
I was in the hallway, and he wasn't even my teacher. He was one of the teachers in the school. And for some reason or another, we just started into conversation, and an adult talking to someone who was 11 to 12 at that time is odd enough, but to be telling very personal information to a child, you know, not completely common. And again, after it was over, I remember walking away thinking, where did that come from? And ever since, it's kind of been a journey to understand not just where the answers are coming from, but how can I help guide that to help other people?
Now, speaking about where do the answers come from, you were able to do some of what I would consider the most profound work that anyone was asked to do in the past 50 years, and that is you dealt with people at Ground Zero right after 9/11. How did that happen?
Well, I'm from New York. I was born in Queens, and you know, left when I was like 15. But the place that I was working at, we could see the smoke coming from the rubble, and I was hearing screams. I knew that there were people who were still alive. So 2 days after, because the first day or two, the city was locked down, 2 days after, I got in the city, and I remember taking the subway. The last street that it stopped at was 8th Street, And I walked to Houston, and there was, you know, all the streets were bordered off, and I told a police officer, there are people alive in there, and I can help find them. And he just looked at me stunned, and he's like, I can't let you go. He was just, he was really empathetic and saying, you know, and not just pushing me away. He's like, I can't let you go. But he actually loaned me his phone to call where I might be able to help. And I wound up at the Javits Center. But it's interesting that on my way back to the subway, and this is, you know, something I'll never forget, not just as a New Yorker, but as a human, I was walking back, and they opened up the street for a second to let a tow truck come through. And as the tow truck passed, with, you know, the single yellow light flashing around, had a car in tow that was completely covered in dust, you know, in the debris. And I remember everyone on the street was just staring at it like it was some grim, you know, parade, some grim funeral procession. And I still get chills when I think about it. I wound up at the Javits Center. First night I was just stacking water, but I wound up going, like, you know, 2 to 3 nights in a week, showing up at night because I never wanted to be there when the media was there, and volunteering until the early morning, and, you know, until the sun came out, just working on other volunteers, cops, firefighters, whoever needed help. I just did everything I could, because it wasn't just helping others, it was helping me. It was therapy for me too.
You can't do something like that without being immensely changed. What do you bring with you now that somehow Spirit gifted you with for doing the work there? Not as a reward, but, if you will, the way we are all marked by any battle we've been in.
Well, it's funny that you should say a battle that we've been in, because I felt like a veteran afterwards. It really hits you so close to home when you see thousands of people who have seen the very worst of humanity and try and bring them some comfort. I was a changed man, and I forever will be. And I'd like to think that instead of being traumatized by it, I've learned from it, in the sense that I understand what it's like to be in the middle of horror and sadness. And, you know, unfortunately, too many people know it, and it's secondhand information to them. But it just makes you understand that no matter what you're dealing with in your life, it can be worse. And we just have to make the best of what we have.
How do you transmute it now? How do you take that feeling of being a veteran, having been through a battle, and take it out in the world in some kind of positive way? Because, you know, that's what we as light workers do. We have to take bilge, we have to take poison, and somehow transmute it to something that is useful and will help grow, not wither. Well, how do you do it?
Well, one of the things that I try to focus on when I'm with anyone, when I do lectures, when I do workshops, is the essential importance of grounding yourself, of shielding yourself, and how it affects everything you do. If you're trying to create a spell, if you're just trying to live your life and deal with toxic people, at the end of the day, you're affected by them. Even if you're not completely aware of it, you feel more tired than you know you should. Something just doesn't feel right. The way we get past that is we center ourselves. We take all those extra energies that we have coursing through our body, coursing through our aura, and we push them down into the earth like we're planting a seed. And some people say, no, the things that are inside of me are too dark. I can't let them go. I need to hold on to them. But what I try to explain to people is that there is no darkness that you have inside of you that the earth can't mutate into life, into something positive. The bottom of the ocean are volcanoes constantly erupting. And around that lava, that intense heat is life, is new creation. What we have to do is focus our energies way down deep so it can burn away and become new life.
So this is basically what the first part of what I call boot camp, ground, center, and shield. Do you teach that?
Yeah. I do. And I try to make it, you know, people are like, no, I want to know how to create a spell. And my point is that if you're not properly grounded, if you're not properly shielded, it can backfire on you. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It has to be something that you have a foundation. A pyramid without a foundation is rubble. You have to have a foundation. And I try to help people understand and learn what they can do to create that foundation within themselves. Because, you know, people like yourself, people like me, we can help people get answers. But when we're done with them, they're still clueless unless they're working to be better. So I want to help people learn how to better themselves. So when they come to me next time, we can work on something else.
What I try to explain to people is if they don't know how to ground, center, and shield, they're also leaving themselves open for so much crud.
Oh, my goodness.
When one of my favorite sayings, doing any kind of magic work and not knowing how to ground, center, and shield is like opening your door and yelling free beer. You've just invited in the world. You don't know who's out there, but they heard you and you're coming. Have you ever had to deal with someone who didn't know how to ground, center, and shield, tried to do the magic, and they had stuff you had to get off of?
Yes, and I'm sure you have as well. It happens too often because people, you know, think, oh, I read lots of books. I know. Yeah, exactly. they don't even realize they have all this residue. I hope this is okay for the air. Crap. They have all this crap that's around them that what I try to do is kind of clean off their auric field, which is not an intensely difficult thing to do, but you have to be mindful of it. You have to cast your intention of what you're trying to do. And you have to center
yourself.
You want
to back up for a second? Back up for a second and explain to people what you mean by their auric field. We know what auras are, but an auric field is something that they may not be clear on.
The energy that surrounds you is your aura, all right? For people that are not completely clear about that, the way I try to explain an aura is, for people who don't know how to see them, is to imagine a summer where the barbecue is going, and when you look at the barbecue, you see the heat coming from it. Just about anyone can see the heat coming from a barbecue. A body also projects heat. It may not be as clear as a barbecue, but it's still the same concept that when you're projecting that heat, it sort of creates a space around you. Some people have larger spaces. Some people who have been hurt before really push their auric fields way out so no one can touch them. But what they don't realize sometimes is they're not letting anyone in, which is also hurting them. Your auric field is your aura. It's just from top to bottom. I don't look at just your head. I don't look at just your heart. I look from top to bottom because, you know what, you never know where something's going to sneak in. So I try to, you know, do a complete centering and grounding when I work with people.
Okay. How difficult is it for them to learn?
It depends. It depends. It's easy enough to explain. And for some people, it comes quite naturally. Some people who are very analytical sort of step on their own feet and get in their own way because mm-hmm. they try to make it more difficult than it is. It's really not that difficult, but when you over-focus, when you, you know, try to make it something that's supposed to be really difficult, it becomes that. The truth is, it is a fairly simple thing, but you have to just allow yourself to kind of see it, you know, to let it wash over you and understand this is not something that's challenging me. This is something that's teaching me. And you just have to be willing to learn.
Now, let's take that idea of learning and bring it down to, let's say, real grassroots. So you have this kid, this adorable, smiley-faced one-year-old named Ben.
Ben
doesn't have a bunch of shields, doesn't have a bunch of this, so he depends on everybody else. How are you going to teach him to do this stuff? How are you going to bring him up like a shaman in training?
Just by telling him and saying it simply and not making it difficult, but just saying, you know what, son, I love you, and mommy and daddy will always be there to protect you. Even when we're not there, we'll always be there to protect you and love you. But you also have to know that not everyone is good. And you have to know how to protect yourself. And even though he's 14 months, I've had serious conversations with him where I'm telling him, mommy and daddy will always be there for you. Mommy and daddy will always love you. But you always have to know that you need to protect yourself. And you need to know that your heart is your own. Your mind is your own. Your body is your own. And if something doesn't feel right, then something's not right. And, yeah, he's 14 months and he doesn't understand most of what I'm saying. But if I say it throughout his life, eventually, he's really going to understand it and it's going to be clear to him.
So how do you introduce magic to somebody like that? You know, obviously, the protecting thing, all of us are mama and papa bears when it comes to our kids.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you teach him to play with the magic, because, you know, 95% of us got into the magic stuff when we were maybe as young as 8 or 9 and maybe adults, but we made the conscious choice. There are so few of us who were raised in a family where esoterica, light worker stuff, wiki woo is the norm. And Ben was smart enough to come into a family where it is. So how do you take this wonderful, smart, malleable little person and start working with the magic with him so that he not only sees it as perfectly normal and natural, but a buddy, something good to play with? What are you doing?
I'm just being honest with him because I think all children see. I think all children have the ability to see. I just think that too many parents are telling them, no, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. It's false.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of guiding them to close themselves up. I'm just guiding my son to always be open, but to protect himself, but to understand that the things that he sees, because he sees my grandmother, he sees, you know, my wife's grandmother. He sees Uncle Otto, you know, one of his namesakes. I can tell he sees spirits because I look at him looking across the room and, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, that's Uncle Otto coming by to say hello because Uncle Otto loves you. I just want to make sure I'm always being honest with him. Even when I don't think he's going to like my answers, I want to try and give him guidance. Whether he likes the answers or not, I want to do my best to do right by him.
How do you know whether someone is simply good as a normal light worker for themselves, or someone is really suited for the shaman path? When can you tell about things like that?
It has to be in their heart. You know, when I'm sort of working with someone, I generally start with Reiki because I love it and I'm good at it. And I, you know, believe that anyone can use a little bit of healing energy, even if they're feeling great. But when I see the passion that they have, I'm like, okay, this is not something that you're supposed to be focusing on yourself. You need to share your gift. Very often I tell people, you know, you need to be writing, you need to be drawing, you need to be creating, because creation is what gets these blocks that we have in our body, in our energetic field. It's what opens them up by creating a new path, by planting a new seed.
Do you ever have an adult client who maybe has their kids with them, and you look at that kid and you say, the kid sees, the kid is aware, and bring it to the parents' attention?
Oh, God. It happened just the other day where I was like, your daughter's a fairy. Your daughter has fairy energy. And she's like, what? And I was like, do you create little energy spots, little, not necessarily altars, but little power spots? And other people have found, like, yeah, she tends to put, like, stuff, like, kind of hidden away where other people can find. I was like, okay. I was like, you're a little flighty, aren't you? She's like, yeah, she is, like, answering for her. But I think it just shows, at least for me, I'm glad that I'm able to see these things. But it just so clear sometimes, and sometimes it makes the parents a little uncomfortable. But you know what? They came to me. I hate, like, making things flowery for people. I'll just say BS. I hate BS because It's never going to serve anyone. It doesn't. If you're not being honest with your clients, then you're just taking their money. And that's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I have a passion for it. I'm doing this because I love what I do. And when I'm helping someone else, it's helping me.
If you're just joining us, we are Empower Radio. This is Empower Readings with Corby Mitlite. My guest tonight is Richard Maltz, and we're talking about all kinds of things, shaman, how to raise enlightened babies. So we're going to be going to break in just a few minutes. When we come back, we are, as always, going to be taking your calls. Both Richard and I will be happy to do that. The number is 248-809-3475, 248-809-3475. If you have reading questions, if you want to know how to perhaps keep your child open to the wonders of the unseen world, remember, he's got kids, I don't, so those questions all go to Richard. We'd love to hear from you. So after our traditional, yes, indeed, after our traditional cat magnet commercial and its friends, we will be coming back with readings and more information with Richard Maltz on S is for Shaman with Empower Readings. See you in a bit.
Lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing, don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, sweetheart. Where's the little guy? In school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Actually, I'm painting your old room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
Nah, I painted over them.
Dad!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, your mom and I are upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo.
What about me and your grandson?
Come on, it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo and...
Sweetheart, you know how great it'll be for my grandson to experience another culture. He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Imagine my grandson speaking Arabic.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Corby Mitlide. We're doing Empower Readings. And tonight my guest is Richard Maltz, who is a splendid shaman and even better dad. And we're talking about what shamans do, what they can teach you, how to raise magical children, all kinds of interesting stuff. So, Richard, question. If you were going to talk about the one thing that most people would benefit most from once they learn how to ground, center, and shield, of course, what would you want to start teaching them? What are some of the things that they can do for themselves in terms of esoterica?
Properly casting their intention. Knowing.
Explain it, please.
I'm about to.
Okay.
Some people have a generalistic view of what they want. I think if you're very clear, if you set your intention with clarity, then it has a better chance of growing into exactly what you want. People just say, oh, I want to be rich. Well, you know what? That's vague. If you set your intention to, I want this business that I am growing to, you know, have 100 people follow me and then 200. If you cast your intention and cast it with clarity, it has a much better chance of coming true. Was that clear enough?
Yes. Now, how do they do it? How do they learn to cast an intention? How do they learn more than that to hold the intention? Because we can all do something once, but then it's like, well, I did it. Why isn't it instantly working? Because everybody these days, it's instant gratification. So how do you build it? How do you keep it?
Well, you and I both know that it just doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Write it down. Cast your intention, not just in your mind, but on paper. You know, make it clear that this is what I want. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it on your mirror. Make sure you're reading it to yourself every day. This is what I'm going to have. This is what I want, and I am going to make it happen. Don't just say it once. Say it every day. Make it happen. Put that energy in there and live it. Make sure that that is exactly what you want, because, you know, when you're casting your intentions and you're doing it properly, that is very powerful stuff. You just have to make sure that, again, you're writing it down. You're putting it on a piece of paper. If it's art, if it's writing, if it's, you know, a new business, write it down. Draw something that is symbolic of what you want and put energy into it every day until it happens. And then, you know what? Move on to the next thing. Make it happen.
The thing that I always tell people is don't do it so hard that you take the enjoyment out of it. A six-year-old does not panic if he's trying to build a bridge and a brick doesn't fit. He doesn't say, oh, I'll never do this. He doesn't say, oh, I'm so stupid. He just says, okay, fine, what's the next brick? And when you're working with esoteric stuff, you're like a six-year-old with a bunch of bricks, because most of us aren't taught. This is not like you're an architecture student. So you're trying it out. Please, for God's sake, be good to yourself. Be kind to yourself. There is no such thing as failure. It's rerouted opportunity. So if this intention doesn't work, try the next one. Try something else. What about healing modalities, Richard? How can someone take care of themselves that way?
Well, it depends on what issues they're facing. In terms of healing modalities, like when I'm doing a session with someone, I have no idea what I'm going to do for them, what I'm going to do with them. I sort of put it into Spirit's hands. I sit them down. I start, you know, with Reiki again, because I love it and I'm good at it. And once I've kind of put energy around them, so everything kind of starts popping up, and messages come through. And sometimes I just need to focus if I feel something in their knee. And I always ask for confirmation. I was like, when did you hurt your knee? And it's not a matter of did you. It's a matter of when did this happen? Because I know what I'm feeling, and I know that you're feeling it too. What's going on? When did this happen? For healing modalities, you just have to be open to being healed. Some people, they close themselves off. They let other people tell them, oh, you need this. And, you know, and they send them to your booth. And sometimes people are closed off. I'm sure it's even happened to you, where someone's come to you and you can tell that, you know, they're being pressured into it. They don't want the answers. They just want to satisfy someone else who's telling them that that's what their needs are. And in the end, if healing isn't what you want, then not many people are going to be able to help you. It has to be something that you're open to. If you're open to healing, then amazing things can happen. Miracles can happen. But you have to be open. You have to let the magic happen.
Now, very often we get what I call is emotional referred stuff. For instance, if somebody is being a real pain in the neck, you might have neck problems. And so you didn't really injure your neck, but you've got this emotional thing that is playing out through physical pain. Mm-hmm. Do you find that that happens? And if so, how do you question the patient to get them to see what is going on and how they're taking this emotion and referring it physically?
Well, pointed questions. Are you having problems with a person very close to you that's causing you agitation? Because I'm feeling a lot of this. I'm feeling a lot of tension here. And it's just a matter of letting someone tell you, in some cases, what you already know, but letting them realize, oh, okay, this is hurting me. This is, you know, the agitation that I have with this person, the emotional struggle that I'm having with this person is causing me pain, and that explains a lot. It's just sort of letting people come to their own answers. It's more powerful than always telling people everything that's wrong with them. Sometimes it's more powerful to kind of bring someone to the cusp of their answer and let them answer their own question.
That's what I call one of those dawn breaks over Marblehead moments. Duh. Do you remember a big one where somebody came to you with a bunch of stuff, and once they realized what was happening emotionally, it was like, oh my God, yes, we can get rid of this, or they let the pain go?
Well, there have been several times where I've started people on a true path to healing that they had themselves shut off to prior. You know, there was someone that I'm thinking of now that I pointed out that she had PTSD, and she never even considered it. It's a powerful thing to know what you feel you're destined to do. It is more powerful when someone opens the door to kind of help get you there a little bit sooner. For this person, she had a lot of people turn their back on her, and she was kind of bringing that all into herself. And sometimes, and I even put it on my business card that there's more strength in letting go. That, you know, when you hold on to something so deeply that it hurts, well, that's exactly what it's doing. It's hurting you. It's becoming toxic within your system. When you're able to let go of something, you're able to fly. You can do anything if you're able to break your constraints and live the life that you feel you're supposed to.
Have you ever done group work like that? One of the reasons I'm asking is people hear shaman and they assume things like sweat lodges, et cetera, et cetera. And we've known how they've gone really bad with someone like James Ray. But there are others like our mutual friend, my wing sister, Eagle Skyfire, who very much knows how to do it and do it right. So if you do group work, how do you structure it?
Well, I try to make sure that everyone in the room is comfortable with the fact that, again, I hate BS, so I'm not going to make things flowery if you're not comfortable with me being brutally honest and telling you exactly what I'm hearing, exactly what I'm seeing, then, you know, tell me now, because I don't want you to be uncomfortable with this, but at the same time, you know, you brought me here. So I don't want to waste my time or your money. I would rather be very clear and let whatever happens happen. And, you know, let the chips fall where they may, and understand that answers aren't always difficult to come to. But if you're not asking the right question, it's nearly impossible. Does that make sense?
If you were going to recommend books or courses or something, let's say somebody is interested in a shamanic path, but there aren't people around like you, how do they start? What can they trust?
Trust what feels right. I started going to pagan festivals, and it was wonderful. It's where I first realized, oh my God, I can play drums. I had no idea because, you know, when I was in band, when I was in school, I was playing tuba and sousaphone, started with flute when I was, you know, young, but moved on to a bigger instrument because I thought it looked better. You just have to go out and find people. Believe it or not, there's someone out there that can teach you something. And sometimes they're where you least expect it. There are metaphysical stores, but very often those attract both types. So if you're not really good at grounding yourself and shielding yourself, I wouldn't go to a place that attracts people who might be sort of energetic leeches. Drum circles are amazing for me.
What do you mean by energetic leech? That's not something a lot of people are going to know.
Okay. When you go to an expo, there are 90% wonderful, magical people. But every once in a while, you will get a vibe from someone where you just, it doesn't feel right, where it's like you're suddenly not feeling right, where maybe you're sick or you're creeped out by something. Sometimes there are people who will feed off of negative energy. There are toxic people who look to agitate you just so they can sort of relish in your pain. Those people are also energetic leeches. Those people will try to have you feel bad for their own betterment.
Isn't that where Ground Center and Shield comes in?
Absolutely. And that's why I feel grounding and shielding yourself is so important, because if you're not grounded, if you're not shielded, you're leaving yourself open to a variety of problems. It's unfortunately easy for some to take advantage. So what I try to do with people is just say, listen, you're doing this. And, you know, for one person recently, I said, you have a sister, right? And she's like, yeah, she's really toxic. Yeah, why do you keep calling her? Why do you initiate? Because she's my sister. Okay, but every time you get off the phone with her, every time you're done meeting with her, you feel awful. Yes. Okay. Well, you need to sort of keep your space. One thing that I've also talked about, and I have ADHD, so every once in a while I'll jump around, but I generally get back to what I'm talking about. One thing that you kind of need to realize, that part of shielding yourself is speaking up for yourself and saying, you know what? And if you need to be polite about it, there are ways of doing that too. You know what? I'm getting over a cold. If you could give me a foot or two, I'd really appreciate it. And I've done that myself, where I was at an expo that I think you were at, and someone came up to me while I was drumming for the opening circle, and he put his hand on my shoulder. I said, you know what? You need to get your hand off my shoulder. It's like, I mean, that wasn't very polite of me, but at the same time, I was shielding myself by saying, you need to give me my space. You have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing to make yourself uncomfortable to keep your space and make sure that you're protecting yourself. Because everything else gets a lot easier if you're in the center of your energy and not other people's stuff.
Okay, we actually have a caller. We've got Sandy from Ottawa, Canada. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, Corby. It's good to hear you again. I love your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's always nice to be appreciated. I think you've got a question for Richard, yes?
Yes, and it's very nice to meet you. I've been enjoying hearing you speak. And I don't know if this question is specific enough, so forgive me. Sometimes I don't get to the point of what I'm getting at, but I'm sure you'll understand. How would you define what being shamanic is, or what is a shamanic path? Is it following a specific tradition, or does it have more to do with connecting with nature? For example, if somebody gave you a reading and said, before you knew anything about this, oh, you have shamanic abilities, you are you should be looking at becoming a shamanic healer, what would that mean to you?
Well, it's a great question, Sandy, because I've never, well, I haven't always been comfortable with even the title of shaman, because it's been something that I've always kind of held with such reverence. I was the warrior of a Cherokee medicine man in chief named Chief Two Bear, and I've met many a shaman in my day that I'm very grateful for, but I think connecting to spirit is the first part. I don't think it's your teacher that makes you a shaman. I don't think it's the books that you've read. I think it's the life that you lead. I think it's the path that you want to walk, because a shaman is a healer. A shaman is someone who wants to bring their, I'll say clients, but I don't necessarily use that word when I think of it, but that wants to bring their clients closer to healing. So if you're feeling that you're pulled in a direction to help others, then I see it as being on a shamanic path. I mean, of course, for me, it's a heavy dose of Native American teachings. And, you know, that's where the term shaman comes from. But I think being a light worker, being a healer, and nature is a big part of that as well, Sandy. I think if you're feeling pulled in that direction, then follow it, because it makes sense for you. It always has made sense for you. Even when other people were casting doubt on you, you were saying to yourself, you know what, I think this makes sense for me. And you kind of had to push through other people's doubt to kind of understand what was happening in your own life, yes?
Yeah, I've always been kind of different.
but welcome to the club.
I also hold the whole term shaman to me is something I have great respect for. And I have to say this. I miss the buffalo. I don't know why I miss the buffalo, but I really miss the buffalo.
Mm.
But in this particular instance, I can't really lay any solid claim to any kind of heritage in that way. So to me, it's kind of like overstepping boundaries. I don't really have the right to be there. And yet, when I have worked with healing, because I am a third-level Reiki practitioner, and when I work with healing, I tend to kind of go with what I was taught and then with what works. And I was observed a couple of times by other teachers who were far more experienced, who said, you know, you're doing that in a kind of shamanic way. I don't know what it is you're doing, but you're doing something where this isn't the way you were trained. You're just going in and doing it. And it kind of pulled me back and made me think, well, wait a minute, what did I just do? Because I was just doing what I thought needed to be done at the time.
And that's exactly what I do, Sandy. And you know, the only difference between you and I is I doubt myself a little bit less than I used to. And you still get in your own way sometimes. It's just one of those things that you're on the right path. You know, you've always known that there was something different. You just have to be willing to listen to those messages and not doubt yourself so darn much. And understand that this is part of your path. And just because you may not be associated with a particular nation doesn't mean that you're not connected to that path. You just have to be willing to follow it and forgive yourself when something doesn't make sense. And just be willing to learn and just don't be so hard on yourself. Understand that, you know, this is a wondrous, beautiful thing that you're doing, Sandy. And, you know, it just keeps coming back into my head that you're really hard on yourself. And you have to let that go, darling. You have to be willing to understand that you're just letting spirit talk through you. And don't doubt it. Know it. This is really happening.
So get out of my own way and let them all talk.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of them that talk to
Does
me.
That help?
It did.
Does
it
that
helped
help
a lot. Especially the forgive myself part. I really want to thank you both for that.
I'm glad. I'm glad you called in, Sandy.
Thank you.
Most of us are hardest. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask when you're coming back up to the Canada side, and if Richard comes up as well sometimes.
Richard, do you do the Canadian shows?
Not yet, but if you give me an idea of what expos to go to, I'm there. Because I realize, you know, within the last 2 years that I have no choice in this. This is what I have to be doing with my life. Because when I look at my son, I want him to be proud of me. So I need to be proud of myself. And when I do the medicine, I'm proud of myself.
Oh, that's perfect. The organizers up here, I would not at this current time be able to recommend too many. There's one, though. I need to send Corby some information. There's one, a new show that wants to start up that may be something you would find interesting. But otherwise, I think Corby has all the proper connections.
The ones that you're talking about are the ones by First Star. They are run by the fabulous Ray Fauché and Stan Mallow. And I was just in St. Catharines. Sandy, I won't be back until Victoria Day, but I'll be doing the usual Kitchener show then.
Okay.
And well, yes, please send me the information on the new one.
I will. Thanks. Can I Facebook it to you if you don't mind?
You betcha. No problem.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. You've given me a lot
pleasure.
To think
Thanks
on.
For calling in, Sandy.
Thank you, and I will continue to listen with pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Wonderful. Be well.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
We're just about at the end of this fascinating hour. Richard, if people want to find you, how are they going to do it?
Well, you can go to richardmalz.com, which is Richard in the normal spelling, Malz, MALZ.com, and that is my webpage. Obviously, you could probably connect to me through Corby's page. I think I'm on there now. And my phone number and email are also on Corby's page, but my number is 862-812-7524, or you could reach me at info@richardmalz.com.
And for those who are looking for me, very simple, firethroughspirit.com, Facebook, either Corby Midline and Fire Through Spirit. You can also call me at 877-321-CORBY. That's 877-321-2672. Richard, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the air with me. It was just a pleasure.
Oh, a pleasure for me as well, Corby. I'm glad you had me.
And for everybody out there, if you are in the line of blizzardy fire, remember, stay off the roads. Make sure you have enough food and candles and shovels and fun. Because these things can be an awful lot of fun if you channel your inner six-year-old. So Ma Feathers is giving you one order for the weekend. If there's snow, go make a snow angel. Go be a kid in it. It's the best way to say to a blizzard, oh, the heck with you. Next week, I am thrilled to bring on my wonderful colleague from Your Soul's Gift and Your Soul's Plan, Stacy Wells, when we will be talking about the karma of relationships. So until then, stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you next week on Empower Readings. We'll be right back.